I want you to turn with me, please, to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew. Wow. I think this is probably going to be the last Sunday for wool suits. I should have known better than to try to get another week out of wool suits. Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter. I told you this morning that I felt led of the Lord to minister tonight to the sick and to the oppressed. And I don't know who you may be who are in need of ministry tonight, but I just sense that the Lord wants you to be free, wants you to be completely free. And we're going to share some scripture, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit minister through us. Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, in that day, leprosy was about as horrible a disease as you could have. Leprosy is a disease of the skin. And the disease of leprosy was caused a man to be segregated from the rest of society. A person who was a leper was not permitted to come in contact. He was not permitted to come within so many feet of another human being because they believed the disease to be contagious. When a man came close to another person, a leper, as he came close, he was required to cry out, unclean, unclean. In other words, he was required to cry out his disease so that everybody else who was in the vicinity could clear out so they wouldn't become contaminated. Here comes this man to Jesus. Do you notice how he approached the Lord? He approached him in what fashion? In an attitude of worship. In an attitude of worship. As he came before the Lord, he worshiped him and said unto him, Lord, if you will, or if it be thy will, thou canst make me clean. Now, this is the kind of prayer that many believers pray today. Lord, if it be thy will, heal me. If it be your will, Lord, cause me to be made whole. That's what this man is praying, in effect. Look at the reaction of Jesus. And Jesus put forth his hand. No questions, no instruction. He saw the attitude of the man's heart was an attitude of worship and submission to him. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Saying, in effect, the will of God is that you be healed. It is the will of God that you be delivered from this disease. It's not only my desire, it's my will. In another place, Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. He said, that's my meat, is to do the will of the one that sent me. He reached forth his hand and he laid it upon the man and he said, I will. It is my will that you be made clean. He didn't ask the man for any kind of penance. He didn't ask the man for to go through any kind of a ritual. He didn't ask him to do anything. The man had already done everything he could do, and that was he had come to the presence of Christ. He had fallen upon his knees, according to Mark's Gospel, the first chapter, and he worshiped him, and he asked the Lord for what he needed. When he came, he didn't know the will of God, and Jesus is giving him an explanation of God's will, a clear understanding of the will of God. He said, it is my will that you be healed. I will. Be thou clean. Now, do you notice there that there was no praying done? You see that Jesus did not pray for the man. What did Jesus do? He put his hand on the man. He said, it is the will of God that you be healed. And then he did what? He said, be thou clean. He spoke the word. He spoke the word of the Lord. Be thou clean. Guess what happened? And immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. At the word of Christ, when he spoke the word, be clean, immediately that man's leprosy was gone from him, and he was cleansed. Then Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man. In other words, I don't want you lollygagging around the street corners telling everybody what's happened to you. This is what I want you to do. But go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In other words, go on and do the rest of the word of God. God's word clearly gave instruction in the books of Moses what a leper was to do if he ever got healed. There was something that a leper was required to do in order to ratify his healing. What he was expected to do was to go to the temple, to make an offering unto God of thanksgiving for his healing, and he was to ask the priest to examine him, and then the priest would declare him clean. Then he was truly clean. And so this man, even after Jesus had spoken to him the word, had given him the cleansing, he said, don't forget to fulfill all that God said do. Don't forget to be a doer of the word of God. Don't forget to do what God's word says do. Go out of here. Don't bother with other people and don't be concerned about telling everybody else what happened. Go directly to the synagogue. Don't go directly to the temple of God and do exactly what God's word says do. Don't stop or delay for anybody or anything, because the most important thing for you right now to hold your healing and to keep it is to go and fulfill the word of God. Go and fulfill what God said that you are to do. Now, the man apparently did. We don't have any more information about him. But the instructions that Jesus gave him are very important to us. Oftentimes, beloved, we receive the ministry of God's healing. We receive the ministry of God's deliverance. And before we get out the door, we've lost it. Before we get home, we've lost it. Before we make it through one day, we've lost it because we've not done what God said that we're to do. Now, what are we to do today when we're asking the Lord for something? What does God's word say for us to do? We're not to go to the temple. We're not to make sacrifices and offerings there of money and that sort of thing. And we're not to have the priest examine us. What are we to do? We're to give thanks unto our God. We're to give confession unto other men what God has done for us. And we're to hold fast the profession of our faith, according to Paul's letter to the Hebrews. Hold fast that which God has given us. All right, now let's go on to the fifth verse, and we see another example of what the Lord has done. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, this centurion was a man, a Roman. He was not a Jew. He was not a citizen of the nation of Israel. He had no right, according to the covenant which God had already established, to expect anything from God. But he came to Jesus beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, apparently the man, since the fifth verse says that the man came to him beseeching him, the inference is clear that the man said, not only is my servant sick, but he said, I beseech you to come and minister healing to him. Sometimes we read that and we see that the man didn't ask straight out for Jesus to come. And we see Jesus said, I'll come. He didn't do that on his own hook. The man apparently had invited him to come. When the word beseeching is used, obviously there is a request having been made. Jesus responds and says, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered, you know, that's what Jesus will say to you. The same thing. You know, there isn't anybody that Jesus won't go heal. There isn't any person who has a need that comes to the Lord that the Lord will not go heal. There isn't anybody who is in need who the Lord will turn away. I don't find one place in this book, not one place, where someone ever came to Jesus Christ with a need that the Lord said, I'm sorry I don't have time, or I'm sorry you don't deserve it, or I'm sorry you're not entitled to it, or I'm sorry you can't have it. In every case and on every occasion, Jesus responded to the request. He said, I will come and I will heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. He said, it's not necessary for you to come to my house, for I know what authority is all about. I'm a man that's under authority, and I have men under me, under my authority. And I know that when I command them, they do what I say. And I know that if you will just speak the word, I know that you're under the authority of God, and I know that this sickness is under your authority. So I know what that's like. And I know that if you'll just speak the word of command, if you will use your authority to speak the word of command over this illness, I know that my servant will be healed. It's not necessary that you go down there and pray laborious praying over him. Just speak the word, that's all. Just say the word. Command that sickness to leave my servant, and the moment you command it, it'll leave. I know what authority is. I know, I've seen authority in operation, and I know that you're a man of authority, under authority, and you have this sickness under your authority. And if you will simply speak the word, I know that thing will flee my servant. And so it's not necessary that you spend time coming down to my house. Just say the word, that's all. And I know that my servant will be healed. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And now he's drawing an analogy here to those that who are, because of dissent, should be part of the kingdom, but because of unbelief are rejected from the kingdom, and those that don't really have an inheritance in the kingdom because they believe are taken in as citizens of the kingdom. Then Jesus in verse 13 said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. You will receive, centurion, what you believed. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Now did the centurion believe for healing? He did believe. We know he believed because his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Jesus spoke the word. What did he say? The word he said was, centurion, use your faith, and as you believe, so shall it be unto you. I speak the word as you asked me to, and that's what you're going to receive, what you're believing for. Now in the 14th verse, there's two examples now where Jesus spoke the word. He said to the leper, be thou clean, and the leper was cleansed. He said to the centurion, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And immediately his servant was made whole. Then when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Luke's gospel tells us that when Jesus came in and found Peter's wife's mother sick, that he rebuked the fever that she had, that he spoke to the fever and commanded it to be gone from her, rebuked the fever, and Peter's mother-in-law was healed, and she arose from off her feverish bed, and she ministered to them. She fixed dinner. They had come back from a long day's work, and when they came home, they were expecting dinner. There was no dinner on the table because the lady of the house was down sick with a fever. Jesus touched her with his hand and spoke to that fever and rebuked it and commanded it to loose her. It did, and she got up and went into the kitchen and fixed supper. Again, he spoke the word. He spoke the word of rebuke against that which had come against her. And when the even was come, They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his what? Word. And healed all that were sick. What did he use to heal the people and to cast out devils? His word. In every one of these cases, he spoke the word. He was a man of authority, and he spoke the word of command, and everything was subject to his word. And it is today also subject to the word of God. Every situation, every circumstance, every disease, every illness, every demon, every difficulty is subject to the word of the living God. There's nothing higher. There's nothing stronger. There's nothing more powerful, and there's nothing more eternal than the word of the living God. Hallelujah. And it will bow to that word. The same today as it did that day. Now, that's a day's work in the life of Jesus. Heal a leper. Heal a Roman soldier's servant by long distance. That's what happened, isn't it? He never touched the servant. He never prayed for the servant. He spoke the word, and through the servant's master and through his faith in that word was the man healed. He healed his wife's mother. And now after supper, he's healing in his evening hours. All these people are coming to him. They find out where he is. He's down at Peter's mother-in-law's house. And so they all resorted to him down there. And after dinner, he goes out apparently, and he's casting out devils with his word, speaking the word of command, and he's healing all that were sick. Now, Matthew goes on to record in the 17th verse that all of these things took place so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself took whose infirmities? Ours. Ours. Himself took our infirmities. If he took our infirmities, then he took my infirmities. If he took our infirmities, he took your infirmities. Is that right? I want you to say that with me. I want you to put the word my in there instead of our. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Say it again. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Once again. Himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Now I want you to say it like this. Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Once again. Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Now, all he did all day long was to fulfill and to demonstrate what Isaiah had recorded in the 53rd chapter of his prophetic word. That the man Jesus, when he came, the Christ, the anointed of God, was going to bear not only the iniquity, but the sicknesses and the infirmities. Do you know what the word infirmities means? Weaknesses. Weaknesses. Infirmities means weaknesses. An arm that doesn't work the way it's supposed to. A leg that doesn't work the way it's supposed to. A rebellious kidney. A heart that doesn't work. That's a weakness, you see. A lung that doesn't function the way it's supposed to function. That's a weakness. That's an infirmity. Jesus Christ is born that. In the same way that he bore our sicknesses and our diseases, he bore our weaknesses. He bore the fact that our eyes don't always work the way they're supposed to. He bore the weaknesses in our ears that we don't hear as well as we used to. He bore the weaknesses in our sinuses that don't function the way they should function. Every one of our infirmities, every one of our weaknesses, every circumstance in our physical and our emotional, as well as in our spiritual being, has been born by the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as your typical sicknesses that come against the human body. And in order to give evidence and proof that Jesus really did that, and that he really has victory over these things, he went about all that day doing all of these wonderful works. I think you could agree it's a day's work. Not only did he do it one day, he did it day after day after day after day after day. He was so busy fulfilling the Old Testament prophecies concerning himself that there were days when he just couldn't physically function. And he would resort to the seacoast with his disciples for a vacation. You remember what happened when he went over to Tyre and Sidon to the seacoast? And you remember the Canaanite woman that followed him there, found out where he was, came into the house. The disciples tried to run her off, and she just wouldn't be put off because she knew that this man had the answer to her daughter's problem. The daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, and the mother was just not going to be denied. She received deliverance for her daughter that day. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, beloved, has not only taken all of our iniquities, but he's taken all our infirmities. He's taken all of our weaknesses. It's the desire of Almighty God and the plan of Almighty God that his people should walk in fullness of health spiritually, emotionally, and physically. In Psalm 103, we sing the first verse of this psalm, but the second and third verse are the verses that contain the great good news. We sing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, don't forget, all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases." How many of you believe that the blood of Jesus covers and washes away all sin? Is there any sin that the blood of Jesus is not effectual for? None. He forgiveth all of our iniquities. He forgives them all. Well, you know, in the same way, he heals what percentage of our diseases? All of our diseases. Every disease which is known to man was born by the Lord Jesus Christ when he hung at Calvary. The 52nd chapter of the book of Isaiah tells us that when he was hanging on the cross, that his visage was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. That you couldn't even tell he was a man. He looked like just a piece of meat hanging on the cross. When they walked by, they couldn't even tell that he looked like a man. He had the shape and the form of a man. But his visage, his appearance was so marred. What was it marred with? It was marred with our diseases, and it was marred with our sicknesses. It was not our sin that caused his body to be twisted and torn like that. Our sin caused his spirit to be bound, to be torn and twisted. It's our diseases and our sicknesses and our infirmities that caused his body to look like it wasn't even a man, to look like a piece of twisted meat. When we come to Easter, or when we come, rather, I guess I should say, to Good Friday, we need to be reminded of what God has really done for us in Christ Jesus. Do you know that when Jesus went to the cross, that on his way to the cross, that our Father God laid upon his physical body every one of your weaknesses and every one of our diseases. Every sickness was born by him. You know how you hurt sometimes when your body is not working right? A little thing in your body, how much pain and agony it will cause you. This man, Jesus Christ, carried not only that, but every disease and sickness, every infirmity and weakness that you ever have experienced or ever will. And he carried not only yours, but he carried mine, and he carried those of the entire human race. That's before the days of morphine and other pain-killing drugs. He carried them in his physical body. When he went to Calvary, God had already laid on his body our diseases and our sicknesses. And as he was hanging on the cross, God laid upon his spirit our sins. And when he died, death came to sin, death came to the power of sin, and death came to the effect of sin, as well as to the power and the effect of sickness in his name. Now that's what this word says, and that's what this word teaches. And God's provision for us, beloved, is not only forgiveness of sin, but it's also healing for the physical body and deliverance for the mental, for the mind, and for the emotions. It belongs to us. The price has already been paid. And Jesus gave us the instruction as to how we were to appropriate it, how we were to receive it for ourselves. He said, as you have believed, so be it done unto you. If you can believe, all things are possible. Everything is possible. Yes, it's possible for you to be delivered from whatever troubles you. It's possible for you to be healed from whatever bothers you physically. And it's the desire of Almighty God that we have that benefit. It's part of the covenant that we have with him. How many of you believe that? Amen. How many of you have experienced that? Okay. All right. I just want to share some word on that. And I'm just going to ask you, any of you that are here tonight that are sick or are diseased or are infirm or are troubled, if you're oppressed, beloved, if you're in fear or if you're in confusion or if you're in doubt or unbelief, that's an oppression and it'll keep you bound. It'll keep you bound. And it'll keep you from what God wants to give to you. I want to speak the word of the Lord to your situation tonight. I want to speak the word of God to your personal disease and infirmity tonight. And if you can believe like the centurion believed, you can have deliverance for yourself or for those that are close to you in the same way that the centurion did. Remember that when the leper came to Jesus that he fell down and worshiped him. That's the very first step in receiving anything from God, that is reverencing the Lord God. It's acknowledging that Jesus Christ is truly God. It's acknowledging that it is the love of God and the power of God that is being ministered to us. Many times we don't receive from the Lord because we ask amiss. Sometimes we come unto the Lord, it's a gimme, 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 gimme. And even though it is the desire of our Heavenly Father to give, 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 he wants to give to us on the basis of the openness of our heart. Not something we're going to spend on ourselves, but just, Father, I love you and I worship you. And I take this disease or this illness or this infirmity or this oppression that's in my body and I just lay it all down. I just give it to you, all of it. I ask you, Father, to set me free from it, that I might serve you, that I might bless you, that I might be used.